This is where I'm supposed to stand, right? You get to forget after a while. I haven't had 5 weeks in a row off for 40 years. It's been a strange month. Sitting in a room all alone, I didn't see another human face for more than 2 weeks. And it messes with your head. And probably more than any other sermon, I have thought about next week's sermon. So be prepared. Now, part of what has been going on in my head has been this whole idea of getting through, of persisting. And that persistence is really what I want to talk about this morning. The word persistence is defined as the firm continuance in a course of action, in spite of difficulty or opposition. These days we're all trying to persist. We're trying to get through. We're trying to make it to the other side of COVID. And so I want to spend our time together to think about persistence, not only in life, but in faith. We look around at our church and it's not the same. How are we going to come back on the other side? How is it that people like each one of us can keep moving forward in spite of the challenges that we have before us? There are those in the work world who share with me the fatigue that comes from the daily grind of activities to produce or sell or meet deadlines. And they ask, is there more to life than this? How can I keep on doing this without having a nervous breakdown? And then you watch the news. Every day in the news, we're being bombarded by terror and war. And we wonder whether the world is going to last beyond the weekend. We're surrounded by people who have difficulty trying to persevere through these trying and difficult times. But persistence, though, it's not very glamorous. And in a world that has come to expect instantaneous and immediate change, we've come to believe that difficult situations can be resolved without delay. Sitting in that hospital, I was like most in that I had come to expect miraculous medical healing as soon as I was admitted. Unfortunately, we become beguiled into believing that immediate results and instant gratification are a part of our birthright. Regardless of what it is, if we can't have it right away, we quickly lose interest and focus our attention in more promising directions. Our scripture lesson this morning challenged us and challenged our impatient generation with two different lessons focusing on persistence. From Exodus 16, we hear the complaints of the people of Israel in the wilderness. Now, you have to remember, they haven't been in the wilderness all that long. But they're already murmuring and complaining that they're hungry. Their impatience has clouded their thinking to the point that slavery with the Egyptians would be much more appealing than freedom with God. And of course, they had to blame somebody, and so they held Moses and Aaron accountable. But God was not about to give up on his people, even though their memory was short. God would provide food. And yet God would provide it in such a way that the people of Israel would be tested. The people of Israel were going to have to persist with God for a period of over 40 years before they would learn that there was more grace with God in the wilderness than there ever was in the captivity in Egypt. But it was the passage from Matthew that is most convincing on this idea of persistence. If I were to preach a series entitled Things I Wish Jesus Had Never Said, I think this passage would surely top my list. Jesus and his disciples are traveling to Tyre and Sidon, a non-Jewish region. The Canaanites were sworn enemies of the Jews with great animosity historically between these groups far, far back in history. Now, a Canaanite woman, an outsider in the eyes of the Jewish Christian readers of Matthew's Gospel, she approached Jesus for help and healing her ill daughter. Now, at first, Jesus ignored her, saying, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I hate that scene. To have Jesus turn his back on someone because she was an outsider. That response does not display the mercy and the grace that we've come to recognize in Jesus as the gracious, all-giving healer. But the woman didn't give up. She wouldn't accept the rejection, even by Jesus. She persisted, believing that Jesus was the Lord and the Son of David, and that there was grace to be found through him. So the woman continued. She continued to press her demands. And Jesus rejected her claims, this time comparing Gentiles, the non-Jews, to dogs. Now, frankly, I don't think that's an insult, but that's me, and you know who I am in relation to my dogs. So straight-ahead insult in those days. But the Canaanite woman didn't give up. She had a comeback to Jesus. She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." You can almost see the light go on in Jesus' head. She cut through the ethnic bias and appealed to his sense of dignity and compassion. Her comment must have had an electric effect on Jesus. And in a stunning turnaround, Jesus granted this woman's request. Not only did he do that, but he hailed her as a model of great faith. What a moment! A story to see our Lord grow, to see his eyes open. The Canaanite woman who continues, persists, never gave up even with the Lord. I think there's a hidden treasure here in this story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman that can really provide us with support in these times that require persistence and perseverance. There's a deep connection in our lessons between persistence and grace. In Matthew, we see a woman who is truly an instrument of grace, helping Jesus himself understand his capacity to share compassion for an outsider. And this woman receives grace in her persistence by having her daughter healed. The hidden truth is this. God will be with us and abide with us and help us to recognize grace in our lives. But in turn, we have to hang in there with God, to persist, to persevere faithfully, until we can be avenues of God's grace, allowing God to work through us. But we have to persist. We can't in these strange times turn our backs on God. We have to once again make this relationship a priority. The grace we find in persistence as Christians allows us to continue to move forward, knowing that our efforts are not in vain. There's a story I've heard, and I may have even told you this before, about ranchers in the Old West, and how sometimes they would take a wild steed that they couldn't break, and they would tie it to a little burrow, and they would turn the two loose, and the steed would rear up on its hind legs and snorting defiance, and off they would go onto the range. Before long, the bucking steed would disappear over the desert horizon, the helpless burro barely keeping up. Often days would pass, but eventually the odd couple would reappear. The little burro would come first, with the submissive steed in tow. What went on out in the range always brought the same result. The steed would buck and pitch and pull, but the burro, willing or not, would hang on. Finally, the steed would become exhausted, and at that point, the burro would take over and become the leader. And that's the way it is in life sometimes. Those who are committed, those who are determined, hang on. And that's good to know as we encounter the battles and the trials in our lives and in our world. It's so easy, especially these days, to get battle weary. Especially these days when you feel like raising the white surrender flag. Faithful persistence becomes harder and harder as the years go by. But the witness of the Canaanite woman and our persistent God challenges us and reminds us individually, and as a church, to persist. To hang in there no matter how troubled our place in life. We look around us. We look at the empty pews, the people who are missing. And it hurts. But we are reminded that there are still possibilities of grace for each one of us and for us as a church. Our continued persistence to develop a loving relationship with God and with those around us can untap new possibilities and help us reach out beyond the boundaries of our present lives and make this world a better place. Persist. Hang in there. Be an instrument of grace for others. It's good to see you. I want to make sure I don't miss someone for Caring Corner here. We have lots of wonderful things in Caring Corner and some others of concern. We congratulate Brian and Rachel Haas, who welcomed the birth of their son Isaac. Brian is the son of Connie Little and the grandson of Don Haas, and I urge you to reach out with your congratulations to them. We also celebrate with Jim and Karen DeBreezy, and their son was married on August 14th in a wonderful celebration, and we celebrate their joy with them. We mourn with Diane Miller, who has been in Seattle celebrating the life of her sister-in-law, who passed away this summer. And we wanted to be sure all of you knew that the memorial service for Jean Halverson is scheduled for the afternoon of Thursday, September 16th, and it'll be here. The time is yet to be determined by the family. And finally, I would urge you to not only remember in prayer, but to reach out and in whatever way you feel most comfortable. As Philip Jacoby has entered Prater once again, this time he has got a donor bone marrow. I think he went through some pretty intensive chemotherapy last Friday, and I know this is a very difficult time, not only for Philip, but for his mom, Kathy, and so I urge you to reach out to them in whatever way possible, whether it be your prayers, a card, or a phone call. I know that they deeply appreciate the support of their church family. Let us pray to God in silence. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer this beautiful morning, we're filled with all sorts of concerns and worries. And so we ask that you calm our hearts and awaken our spirits. We know, dear God, that we haven't listened for your word and amid the clamor of all the words around us. We're more pleased to repeat familiar tunes than to listen for new melodies and strange harmonies. We try harder to defend what we think we know than to reach for that which is beyond our grasp. Slow to trust and afraid of the unknown, we're cautious to hear and do your will. And so, Lord, we pray for ears to hear the cries of our neighbors and for the heart which resonate with your spirit. We pray this day, Lord, for all those who struggle now with issues of health and loss, especially those close to our church family. We pray that somehow, Lord, you might use us as instruments of your love to give comfort and hope and peace. We offer this our prayer in the name of your Son. Amen.